Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
"I found Nirvana! I win!"
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $200 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hey, welcome back in hour number 4 of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, reacting to a big 46-25 win for the Titans against the Detroit Lions. The Titans improved to 10-4 on the year. They remain in first place in the AFC South. And Joe, just a day yesterday where the Titans did whatever they wanted to do. We talked a lot about Tannehill today here on the show. But Derrick Henry, I mean, 24 carries, 147 yards, a touchdown. Probably had more yards on the table if the Lions were able to kind of keep up with the Titans offensively. But another big day, like it's hard to figure that's where we've gotten with Derrick Henry. But we're like, oh, he only had 147 yards yesterday. How about that?
Yeah, it really is amazing. I mean, my goodness, he's only at 1679 with 2 games to go, you know? Come on, Derek.
Step it up a little bit and help us talk more about this game and all things in the NFL. We go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN NFL analyst. Mike, what's going on? Thanks for taking time to join us.
Morning, guys. How's it going?
So, Mike, first off, doing well. Hope you are as well. Secondly, we've been talking about Derrick Henry a lot here on the show, both today and in the past few weeks, just some of the crazy numbers that he's been able to put up at the running back position. When you watch Derrick Henry play, what comes to mind? Have you ever seen a back quite like him with the combination of the size and the speed and the stiff arm power that keeps getting put on display? Like, what comes to mind when you watch Derrick Henry?
Yeah, all those, you know, he's a man among boys. And I thought Lex Ryan had a great comment this morning when talking about yesterday's stiff arm. And Green goes, "What do you think?" And Rex goes, "Well, Josh Norman saying, well, at least it wasn't really me." what I would say is I think Tennessee, and look, I was privileged to sign Ryan Tannehill to an extension in Miami, and I've been a huge, huge Ryan fan my whole career. But I just feel objectively Tennessee gives Kansas City the best matchup in terms of getting to the – when you look at who's going to come out of the AFC, obviously Kansas City is the favorite, but because of Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill, I think Tennessee has the best chance of beating them.
That's interesting. And, of course, Mike, we've talked about Tannehill before, a couple weeks ago. And like you said, I mean, you know him very well as anyone in this game, and you've been bullish on him as a player. Do you feel like more people are coming around on that, or will that ever happen to the extent that it probably should?
Well, yeah, probably not, because the one thing that Ryan Tannehill doesn't do a good job of is promote himself. You know, that's just not the way that he's hardwired. You know, and I think that's one of the many reasons his teammates love him, is because he's genuine, he's selfless, he cares deeply for each and every one of them. He prepares hard, he deflects praise and owns setbacks, and I think there's so much good about him. And on the national stage, it's still, I think, a little bit under the radar in terms of what he's done over the last 16 games with Mike Vrabel and Arthur Smith, and Tennessee deserves so much credit, and I think they're going to be in it all the way to the end.
Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN NFL analyst, on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Mike, a big game coming up next week, Sunday Night Football, between the Titans and the Green Bay Packers, and Aaron Rodgers firmly in the MVP race right now. Is this the best that we've ever seen Aaron Rodgers play, even given his age?
Yeah, and it probably, and what's remarkable is, you know, who's the second best target on Green Bay, you know? Is it Alan Lazard when healthy? Is it Marquise Scaldez-Vantling? Is it now, you know, who is it? And every week it seems like we're going to be talking about somebody else. And that really shows the greatness of Aaron Rodgers. You know, when we're looking at players that make others better, that's a great example. You know, it's hard to say who their second best option is, and that's all because of Aaron Rodgers' greatness.
I think Joe left him. There
Mike,
he is.
Sorry. More mute button issues. What did you make, Mike, of the this Chiefs-Saints game yesterday? I know Drew Brees just getting back doesn't have Michael Thomas. I thought defensively they actually did some good things, and then, you know, what do you do sometimes with Patrick Mahomes? But what is your takeaway from that game, which I think could potentially be a Super Bowl preview?
Yeah, it could be. But I think what we saw in that game was some vulnerabilities with the Saints. You know, I thought Drew Brees understandably looked slow initially, missed his first 9 passes. You know, Michael Thomas just hasn't been the same this year. And in a game, you know, that they have to have, like, who's their go-to guy after Alvin Kamara? You know, and that would be a concern of mine if I'm the Saints. And, you know, on the other side of the ball, I love their secondary, but that throw that Patrick Mahomes made at the end of the second quarter to the back of the end zone to Mecole Hardman was just – it was just incredible to watch. So there's a reason he's an all-time great. And I don't know who's going to come out of the NFC. If I had to pick a team, I'd probably say it's Green Bay. I just think New Orleans, their lack of sort of consistency on offense is a big concern.
Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN NFL analyst on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Mike, an interesting game tonight from the Steelers' vantage point, looking ahead against the Bengals, and then obviously a huge matchup next week between the Steelers and the Colts. And it just looks like offensively Pittsburgh has struggled the last few weeks. When you evaluate the Steelers, what do you see and what sort of a threat do you think they are in the AFC?
I'm a little concerned about Ben Roethlisberger's age. You know, when you just watch him, he wants to get rid of the ball quick. You know, he's close to the end, in my opinion. He doesn't get the ball down the field. He's done a great job of assembling run after catch receivers. You know, this year was Chase Claypool. It's been James Washington in the past, Smith-Schuster. I think when it's all said and done, I like Tennessee more. I think they're the more complete offense. You know, I think Tennessee has some struggles defensively, but I just think Ben's days are, you know, he's just an older, aging quarterback, in my opinion.
And then when you look ahead to Tampa Bay, I mean, you've got the Bucs out there, and it looks like at one half, they don't know how to move the ball forward, and they can't put up any points. And then yesterday they come storming back against Atlanta. What sort of a threat do you think Tom Brady and company is in the NFC?
You know, here's what's so fascinating about our sport, guys. If we were playing 4 out of 7, you would take Green Bay, certainly, maybe even Seattle. But in one game, it's Tom Brady. And boy, he could just he could pick you apart. And unfortunately for me, I saw it for over 20 years between the Jets and the Dolphins. But he is so smart. He knows where he's going to go with the ball. And they have so many weapons. And, you know, Antonio Brown made a big play yesterday. So, you know, one-game season, you can't rule them out because they're just too talented.
On the young quarterback side of things and the other side, Mike, Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills, they seem to be surging. How seriously do you take them as a contender in the AFC?
Yeah, I think that's the perfect word. They are surging, and I think they're going to be a tough out. You know, Josh Allen's a guy whose completion percentage has gotten, like, historically better, which is just, you know, something that you just don't see usually from an accuracy standpoint. You are what you are, but to his credit, he's gotten better, and I think defensively they're solid. They don't really dominate, but they're really well coached. They don't beat themselves, and they're going to have at least one home playoff game, and even without fans there, it's going to be cold in Buffalo, a little bit like Green Bay. And they're a team that, again, I don't think they could beat Kansas City, and I put them a notch below Tennessee just because of Derrick Henry, but that's a team that I don't think Kansas City wants to see anytime soon.
Mike, last thing for you here is, as you look at A.J. Brown, obviously we see what he's able to do with the ball in his hands after the catch. How close is he, in your opinion, to becoming an elite receiver in the game, or has he already gotten there in your mind? What are the next steps for A.J. Brown?
Yeah, I think we got to go back and look at that Ole Miss tape from 3 years ago and see how come they're not putting up 50 between him and DK, right?
It's unbelievable.
I mean, it's just insane how good both of them are. And what I love about AJ is I feel like he fits that John Robinson, Mike Vrabel model of tough, age, strong, you know, this guy, he is hard, hard to tackle. And he's a frontline one, and I think he just fits really well in terms of, like, some of those underneath plays we've seen, like shallow crosses, slants. And I certainly see him as a number one. I don't know what element of the game he doesn't have to be a one. So it's nice to see Corey Davis come along, and I think he's another element that could help as Tennessee goes down this, you know, playoff run. But, boy, I think they hit big on A.J. Brown, and I think he'll be a frontline one for years to come.
ESPN NFL analyst Mike Tannenbaum has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. Mike, really appreciate you taking time to join us. Great stuff.
Thanks, guys. Happy holidays.
Absolutely. Same to you. And, Joe, it's interesting. Like, you hear him talk about A.J. Brown there, and we've had the discussion several times here on the show. I wrote about this on Friday at thegamenashville.com. You know, it's interesting, like, in this Titans offense, the numbers, I think, on a week-by-week basis, they're not always going to be there. Like, I thought he played fine yesterday, but he ends up with 5 catches for 44 yards and a touchdown. So with the different options the Titans have, and then obviously, you know, the bell cow and Derrick Henry that you want to give the ball to as much as possible, like, I'm not sure that A.J. Brown is going to put up, like, these eye-popping numbers that you would consider elite wide receivers to have. But I think he's right on the doorstep of being a guy that, you know, from a after-the-catch standpoint to running with the ball in his hands to how difficult he is to bring down, he is right on the doorstep. And it is amazing, like, to think back to that Ole Miss offense with DK Metcalf and A.J. Brown and how they didn't, like, win more games than they did is beyond me. Just that's how bad the Ole Miss defense was.
Right. And, I mean, A.J. Brown in a different offense, I think, could have much bigger numbers.
Yeah.
You could probably say the same thing about Jonnu Smith. You know, it's – I mean, and so I guess from that standpoint, you know, this offense in a way hinders him. But I think also the play-action element of this offense has opened the door for a lot of big plays that he's made as well. So it's kind of interesting. I mean, it's amazing, really, that – they are so close to so many offensive players reaching those milestone numbers, you know, 1,000 yards for 2 receivers, maybe. You know, obviously Derrick Henry will have a monster. It already is a monster number for him. You know, Tannehill can be at 4,000 passing. That's hard to do, you know, to have an offense that well-rounded and everyone get numbers like that. But when you have almost perfect balance like they have, you can have numbers like that for a lot of different people. And, of course, you also are just about as hard as any offense in this league to deal with outside of the one that we talk about all the time as the number one offense.
And it's interesting. You heard Mike Tannenbaum there say that the Titans he considers to be the biggest threat in the AFC to the Chiefs. And we talked about it last week. A lot of people were going with Buffalo. I think you and Porth talked yourselves into the Titans by the end of the show last week. Pittsburgh sits there at 11-2, the number two seed right now, and it seems like with the way that Roethlisberger has played, they're becoming less and less of a factor in the AFC, according to people nationally. I would agree with that. Like, just watching Pittsburgh play, just doesn't look like they have it on offense with Roethlisberger. But right now, Tannenbaum's got the Titans at number two in the AFC. It's a revolving door.
Yeah, no, and I don't think he's off base there. I mean, I think he's close. Look, I think Cleveland right now is a dangerous team.
Yeah,
you know. Like, even though the Steelers, like, the Browns cannot deal with the Steelers, as long as they don't have to actually play the Steelers, I like the Browns. You know, I really think they can make a run. And the Colts, too, a dangerous team. But I think the Titans as the most dangerous team to Kansas City makes sense. In terms of, you look at, like, who's stopping the Chiefs? Nobody is, right? So who can score with them? The Titans have the best chance. Problem is the Titans defense may – you know, give up 45 to them, whereas, like, the Colts would only give up 31. So,
yeah.
I mean, you know, you look at it that way. But, hey, look, you're going to have to beat them with offense, and the best offense outside of Kansas City is in Nashville.
When we come back, we'll dive back into the Titans and the Lions. Get your reaction as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. 1025. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the wholesaling studio powered by RumbleOn.com. You're on ESPN 1025, The Game.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.